was a rendition of Psalm 86, and now indeed we're going to read Psalm 86. We read this particular psalm to indeed set a context for our celebration of the Lord's table. Which we receive that blessed sign of the Lord's goodness and grace, understanding the insufficiency of man, but the abundant sufficiency of our Lord. Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Psalm 86. Let's hear once again the concluding verse of this psalm. Give me, David prays, a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. May the Lord so strengthen us by his word, that we also would be found faithful to answer his word for his glory's sake. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, signs serve a very important place in our lives. And without signs, we would quickly lose our sense of direction. Signs convey a message, signs direct our attention, and they point the way. This morning with Psalm 86, we hear David pray for God's help and at the same time acknowledge God's help. With the ears of faith, we hear David pray for a sign of God's goodness. David is in earnest, as if he is pleading, Lord, give me something to Uphold me in my faith. Give me that sign that helps me better see Thy glory, grace, and goodness. The Christian to this day needs those signs. And the Lord's Supper is one such sign. We think of what it is that we confess with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25, question and answer 66. In speaking of the sacraments, our forefathers, and we with them, acknowledge that sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. Now these beautiful words. And this is God's gospel promise. He grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace. Because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. And in our worship this morning, we are privileged then, as part of that worship, to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is an act of worship. And in so doing, we will, in a very visible, obvious way, make testimony of God's grace and goodness toward His people through the finished work of Christ. When we eat of the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine, testimony is given of Christ's victory, His victory over sin, death, and hell. And we will again affirm that Christ has conquered the evil one. And when we participate in the sacrament with believing, sincere hearts, we are saying that we trust that Christ's sacrifice, once for all, is sufficient. And we trust that Christ is coming soon again to take all the sheep of the sheepfold to be with Him to the eternal feast. The Lord's Supper is a confession. It's a testimony. It's an affirmation of the faith we profess to believe. And as a congregation, we're declaring before the Lord what He has done to us. As a congregation, we're declaring amongst each other like precious common faith. In our testimony, we acknowledge with David of long ago that we are poor and needy. We plead our need. We recognize man's insufficiency. And then we also joyfully declare God's mercy and gracious work of deliverance. And with joy in our hearts, confess that God is full of compassion, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. We confess God's all-sufficiency. So the Lord's Supper becomes an echo of what we believe with Psalm 86. Psalm 86, a prayer for mercy with meditation upon the excellencies of God. In the Lord's Supper, we come before the Lord as a needy people. In Psalm 86, we hear David cry out to the Lord. David is expressing something of his distress. And there's a sense of urgency as demonstrated by some 14 prayer requests. Some are repeated several times. Lord, bow down thine ear. Lord, hear me. Lord, preserve me. Lord, save me. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, give ear to my prayer. Lord, teach me your way. Lord, turn to me. Lord, give me your strength. Lord, show me a sign for good. Lord, give me a united heart. It's like the waves of the ocean, wave after wave, where David, in a sense of dependency, even in somewhat of a sense of anguish, pleads with the Lord. And we are no different. We all have such need. For we are all sinners. Feeble, frail, creatures of the dust. Often wayward. We are a people who are in this world but for a short time. And you and I, we must be very, very self-conscious of our inadequacy. Self-conscious of our weakness. We live in a world that often confuses needs with wants. At times, people think they really need something, when in truth, it's really something that they want. Never before in history, in this part of the world, have the people experienced such a bounty from the hand of the Lord. Prosperity abounds. Never in history before have we had so many tasks simplified by technology. A technology that we take almost for granted from day to day. Never before has communication technology been more advanced. But our great need still remains. For when we are speaking of need, we are speaking about something vastly different. We are speaking of our need for reconciliation with God. Our need for the way, for our path to be opened to God. Our need for paradise to be regained. And proud people that we are, we must time and time again confess in humility our need for Christ. It can happen to us, it happens to me, that we bask, that we rest in the daily provisions of God, that we forget our first need, our need for salvation, the need for our sins to be removed. For our transgressions to be covered, for the charge of trespassing to be dropped. And we must not lose sight of our need, for we must remember sin is an offense to God. And we need to know what it is to recognize our own insufficiency, to see our own sin, to see how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognizing the holiness of God, even as we sang of that holiness earlier from Psalm 99. When we stop asking the Lord to teach us, when we come to a place in our lives where we think that we know enough, we are saying an awful thing. As one Bible teacher once wrote, there is no point on which the world is more dark than that of its own ignorance. We might truly say the world is ignorant of its ignorance. And the Christian church in many places in the world lives in ignorance because they no longer uphold the truth of God's word. And it's easier that way. But it must not be so for us. Sin brings division beginning in our own hearts. Sin separates us from God. Sin creates a dividing wall of hostility. And the Bible teaches the wages of sin are death. We're thankful that the Bible also teaches of the great gift of grace, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now David so feels his need, his weakness, his utter helplessness, that he asks the Lord to bow down his ear to him. It is as if he's so weak, it's only if God will come to his spot on earth, will there be any hope. And the miracle of grace is that God did come down to earth in Jesus Christ so that we might have a hearing with God. And in that hearing, David expresses his holiness. Not a holiness of his own making, but holiness by virtue of the covenant of grace. The holiness the believer confesses rests in the holiness of Christ. It rests in Christ's blameless perfection. And the believer is to rely upon that, to trust. The Lord is good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy, to call upon all those who call upon Him. And in the Lord's Supper, there's a real calling on the Lord. In our hearts, there's that sense of, Lord, we call upon Thee, for Thou hast called upon us in the Savior. We're celebrating what God has done for us in our Redeemer. When we confess the forgiveness of sins, and when we do so from the heart, not just mumbling a few words, but when this is a conviction that lives strongly within us, we're confessing that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against His people any of their sins. That's amazing. Nor their sinful nature. And that's amazing. That sinful nature which we need to struggle against all our life. Rather, in His grace, God grants the righteousness of Christ to free His people forever from judgment. And praise God that we confess the sufficiency, His sufficiency for our need. The gospel message is a message of freedom. It's a message of assurance. And when we think of our sins, the sins of our hearts, the sins of our mind, the sins of our tongue, the sins of our hands, that can be overwhelming. God's wrath against sin is not a fairy tale. And then to be set free from the penalty of sin, well, that's a wonder to behold. Christ is that wonder. And it is the work of Christ that is sufficient to cover our sin and to provide for our need. Now, Psalm 86 does not only have our justification in mind. There is also that need for God's grace to lead us in the pathway of sanctification. In verse 3, we hear David confess that he cries out to God all day long. In verse 11, David acknowledges before the Lord that even as a follower of the Lord, he has a divided heart. His loyalties are divided. With one part of his heart, he seeks the Lord's way, the Lord's glory. But there's another part of his heart that would just go its own way. And there's that struggle in the heart, which, if in honesty, we also speak, we would admit that that struggle lives in all of our hearts. The battle is strong. And David cries out to God to help him, to look to God, to only serve Him. Like the Apostle Paul, he too knew what it was to admit, for the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. And as such, David pleads with the Lord to show him the way of life. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thee, O Lord. David praying that he would grow in that grace of loyalty. And we too must live out of that prayer. As David prays that God would teach him to walk in His ways, praying that the Lord would turn to him, asking for a heart that would be full of the Lord. Now, as you know from David's life, from your study of his life, he faced many tests and trials. He submitted to many difficult circumstances. Now in prayer, he comes before the Lord to protect him from the perils he faced. There are those seeking his life. Why, even his own son would assassinate him. In verse 14, David speaks of the conflict between him and those that have not set God before them. They are of those who seek their own glory, their own kingdom, their own good life as the standard by which they desire to live. And from our studies of the Scripture, Bible history, we know that God was indeed good and kind to David. And as David now confesses that he's poor and needy, that confession comes on the basis of a relationship that recognizes submission to God, dependence upon God, based upon the conviction that by grace, David has been set apart for God's service. Now, beloved, as we ponder, as we think, as we listen to what God gives us in Psalm 86, we need to ask each other, I need to ask you, can you find yourself in Psalm 86? Is Psalm 86 your testimony as well? When it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, what is it that you need most in life? What do you desire most? And what does it mean for us to recognize our need, and how do we communicate that need, and how do we acknowledge before the Lord and amongst each other the provision of that need? Each pew, full church this morning, hope so this afternoon too. Each pew, there's a concern, perhaps a particular troubling trouble. In each pew, there is a need. Parents who may be concerned about the spiritual well-being of their children. Or there may be the physical frailty that just wears us down. Amongst us, it's no secret, there are marriages that are struggling. And we have to learn much about how it is that love covers a multitude of sins. Perhaps there are several whose work situation is uncertain. And then we also must acknowledge that we live in a society that very rapidly not only departs from the ways of the Lord, but militates against those who would uphold the word of the Lord, as a society that does not understand the limits of human freedom. A society that's proud, arrogant, insolent, believing that they can live. Can you imagine that they can live independently from God? We all have a need. We are all weak. But in Christ, we have one who is strong. And by His Word and Spirit, that's His promise. He doesn't break His promise. He will help us. And He calls us, even as we heard in the call to worship this morning, come to Me. Come to Me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. What's that promise? I'll give you rest. Resting in the Lord, resting in His promises, resting in the conviction of grace. David pleads with the Lord to take pity on him. He asks for strength. He asks for that sign. Lord, just give me a sign. I just need to see something. Help me along the way here. In congregation, again we say, in the Lord's Supper, we have such a token, we have such a sign. The Lord's Supper pointing us to Christ. Pointing us to Christ, our Redeemer, Defender, and Friend. In the Lord's Supper, we spiritually partake of Christ. And we acknowledge Christ gave his life to the death, so that our dead lives might be brought to the abundance of life beginning in this world and lived to the full in the world to come. And this token that we're about to receive is a precious gift, a gift given to the church. This is the Lord's table. He is the host. We are the guests. And what a privilege for us to be at His table. We can't come to a place and say, well, second Sunday of the month, Lord's Supper, okay, that's just the pattern. No, each time. What a privilege is ours to be drawn in communion with our Savior by means of the Lord's Supper. We think of the prodigal son for a moment when he found his way back home. He who had been in the pig pen. He had anticipated a deserved word of displeasure, if not outright rejection from the one he had so grievously sinned against. He had squandered so much. He had rejected his father's love. Why, he recognized that he didn't even, when he came to his senses, that he didn't even deserve the crumbs from the table. But what happens when he comes home? He receives the warmest of welcomes. Not only is there the rejoicing of the Father, the kiss of welcome, the brand new robe and shoes and a ring, there's that feast of gladness. And at this feast of gladness, the prodigal son may know that he belongs. And that blessing, congregation, is ours too when we celebrate in faith. We're not talking about superstition and custom. No, when we celebrate in faith and joy the Lord's Supper table, pointing us forward to the table that God's people will enjoy in eternity. The Lord's table, He gives it to us, helps us in the assurance of faith. For several thousand years now, the Lord has said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this. David, in spite of his weakness, in spite of his shortcomings, was given an answer. And that same answer may be ours. There's confidence. We can rejoice with David of long ago in the assurance and the nearness of the Lord's care. Our sovereign God promises. And so, let us be encouraged. David asked for an answer. We have our answer in Christ. And the Lord's Supper encourages us again in the Lord's answer. For He is a God full, brimming full with compassion, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. Christ became poor so that we might become rich. He became needy so that our need might be answered. And He is all that we need. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Let's then turn to a continued word of instruction.